should have done it yourself. Our scripture lesson again will be read by our brother George Jordan, and we invite you to read with us from Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And as our custom is, we'll stand while our brother is reading, and then following that, I'm going to ask Brother Matt Postiff, our assistant pastor, to come and lead us in prayer for the many needs which concern our assembly. Thank you, brother.
Romans, excuse me. What shall we say then that Abraham our father?
Stand up, get these people stand up, brother. That's it. All
right. I thought they were standing. Okay, praise the Lord, huh? Yeah, it's good to be here. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even David also describeth the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
You may be seated, please. Thank you. Remember this, John Wordsworth, please. Thanks.
Join me in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of all. We thank you that you have planned all things, that you have created all things, that you sustain all things, and that you guide all things by your hand of providence to their intended and planned end. Without fail, O God, all things will do that which you desire. We thank you for this. We thank you that we may rest our trust in you despite anything that may come in life, in our personal lives or national life or in the world. And so we entrust ourselves into thy hands. Lord, we pray for some matters that are upon our hearts this morning. I want to pray, Lord, for our own assembly, starting in this very room, that you will be pleased to help these folks, all of us, to understand what the Word of God says this morning, that we will not go away from here with a sense that we wasted our time, but that it was profitably invested in the eternal things. Lord, I pray for those from youngest to oldest, for our children, I pray, Lord, that you'll protect them from the wiles of the devil, help them to grow up and to be strong minded in the sense of servants of God himself and not bending to the ways of the world. Lord, I pray also for young people, teenagers, and ask that you will do the same for them. We pray, Lord, that you would add to their numbers specifically so that we might have a larger group in that Sunday school class and youth group. I pray, Lord, for our students on the campus at Michigan and other schools, at Washtenaw, at Wayne State, if there are any at Eastern. Lord, we commit them to thee, and we pray that the wickedness that is around on the campus will not touch them. Lord, we pray they will keep themselves unspotted from the world. We pray that they will find a place to minister and to be helpful to their fellow believers and to those who need to know Christ. We pray you help them in their studies. And Lord, for all of the rest of us, Lord, we pray that you will just guide us. We pray for the class that just met across the way there. We thank you for our brother James and his teaching of that ministry. We pray that you also add to them in not only numerically, but also spiritually. Lord, add people to this church, we pray, those that are saved, those that will become saved, and those, Lord, who will grow and not remain in the same static state as when they came. And Lord, I pray for those who could not be here this morning. I remember specifically Jean Balakovich for her needs, and we thank you, Lord, that you have brought her along so nicely from the very precipice of death. And Lord, we give you the honor and the glory for answering our prayers in her behalf. And Lord, I want to pray also for Mrs. Jordan. And Lord, with the pains that she suffers in her physical body, may you comfort her and give her a measure of grace beyond that which she has ever known. Help her to glorify your name through the midst of these difficult circumstances. Pray for her husband as well. We pray for their grandchild, Russell, and ask that you will touch his little body too. We pray for our beloved Mrs. Pinero and Miss Pine. We ask, Lord, that you will touch these dear ones and strengthen them. We thank you for the things that they have done in our assembly and the fond remembrances that we have of their being around here. And now they cannot be with us. They are over there in their facility, and we just pray and ask your care to wrap around them and provide some fellowship for them, Lord, we ask today and in the days ahead. Lord, I pray for others in our assembly who are ill chronically, not well, and you know their very needs, and we just remember them to thee. Lord, perhaps there are some here that have difficulties with their job, with personal relationships in their marriage, with their children, whatever the case may be. We ask, Lord, that you help them to see you through the midst of this. Keep their eyes focused upon those things that they need to be. Help them not to be anxious, but to give everything to thee by prayer and supplication, to let their requests be made known to God. Help them to cast all their cares upon him. Help them to cast their burden upon the Lord and see how he will sustain them. Lord, I want to pray for this man who in Brazil was shot and has been left paralyzed from his neck down, apparently, for Mr. Leonard. We pray, Lord, that you will touch his body. We ask for your help to his family, to his wife and his children. Oh God, we pray for the price that some have to pay, like this man, for the preaching of the gospel, beyond what many of us will ever experience. And Lord, certainly reminds us that you have graciously allowed us to have the privileges that we do today. Lord, that we can even be here, that we can even be mobile, whether it's in a chair or on our own 2 feet or by crutches or whatever. Lord, thank you for that. But we pray for this brother that you will strengthen and encourage his heart and mind and his spirit. May your grace be his portion as well, so that all will see that he lives by the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed his soul from the grave. Lord, we pray for the national scene as well, with the disastrous events that have occurred in the last weeks. We pray also, Lord, for the disastrous moral things that are going on in our midst. We especially pray for this push for rights of marriage to other types of people, and then for the abortion problem as well. Lord, we cannot understand, though we can, because of the great depths of the sinfulness of man, these things occur. And Lord, we pray that you will keep us from submitting to the desires of that same flesh that dwells in us. But by the Spirit of God, we may overcome it and live in a way that is pleasing to thee. Lord, for the wars and for the tumults, for the disasters around the globe, we remember them as well. We think of our president and the vice president who's had the surgery yesterday, and the cabinet and the congressmen and the senators, Lord, that you will give them wisdom, turn their hearts away from evil and turn them toward thee. Lord, we just commend these things to you because we can't do anything ourselves, but we know that you can by your almighty power. Again, we thank you that you guide all things to their intended end, and we trust thee this morning. We thank you in the name that's above every name, the name that has loosed us from our sins, washed us in his own blood, given us new life in himself, and now lives in us through his Spirit. Lord, we thank you for that. In his name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Welcome to all of you. We're so happy you're here this morning. We rejoice in the goodness and grace of the Lord to allow us once again to be here. And our brother did pray for the people down in Louisiana and Texas. We just can't imagine what is going down there. Larry Rankin, who was a member of our fellowship, is down there working. And he said that some of the people who came with him to help couldn't stand it, and they've copped out. It's so terrible. I guess you can understand then why those two policemen who were there took their own lives because of the difficulties which are there. I do trust that you spend considerable time in your thought life and your prayers for these people down there, and that God may, in his wonderful grace, minister to their needs. Many are truly born-again believers who have been caught in this. Then some are not believers, and they've gone out to a crisis eternity. And we need to pray that God in his mercy will minister. And just thank the Lord for your time. I had the opportunity to have a haircut this last week over in Dexter. And I tried to confront the lady who was cutting my hair with the gospel. And she just wouldn't answer. And so I said, "You didn't answer my question." And she still didn't answer. And as soon as she was finished with me, she took off and went to the restroom. You know, it's a shame because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next moment. And it's our responsibility to tell people about the Lord. Can you imagine people being inundated with water as they were down there? Or how some of our soldiers are confronted, just blown up, no reason whatsoever. And with all these things going on, you and I sat down this morning, at least we did in our home, and we read the scriptures. We sat down and we prayed around our kitchen table. We had a nice breakfast. We got clothes to wear. All the things that are just taken for granted. My brother's wife, Brother George's wife, she has trouble swallowing. Did you thank the Lord for swallowing? I mean, we don't normally think about that. Or their little grandson, Russell, for whom we've been praying. When he takes food in, he can't digest it. It goes right through him. And these are things that I think we need to be very much aware of, the goodness and grace of God, that where we are and how we are. And I just call that to your attention and trust that the Lord will speak to your heart about it. I just want to remind you of all the items which are in the bulletin for your attention. Please take notice of the scripture memory. That's going to be starting pretty soon. Sign up, please. A brother told me yesterday, he said, "I started on this, but I never finished." Well, at least start. Give the Lord a chance. And then stick it out right to the end by his grace in memorizing his precious word. I want to take notice of some of the folks who are here as guests today. We thank the Lord for each one who's come. I welcome Mike Scarfo back here. Thank you, brother. Nice to see your face once again. We rejoice in that. And this man wrote to me yesterday and told me about his sister. You want to pray for Heather. Heather Coaster. She's working in Central America, working with, what's the name of the country?
Bolivia.
In Bolivia. And she's working with these women who are caught in this terrible vice of sexual slavery. You can't believe what's going on in the world. There's something in our bulletin this morning about some women taken over from North Korea into China, and they're brought into that same. Can you imagine your daughter or one of your children being caught in a thing like that? It just staggers your mind, or your wife or some loved one. So pray much for these dear people. And Heather is working with these young women, and I want to remember her in much prayer. All right. I also want to welcome with us today Brother Reeves and his wife. And boy, it's been a long time since I've seen you, brother, but I still remember your father, Virgil, and nice to have you. Would you please stand, Mr. and Mrs. Reeves? Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you, dear friends. All right. I think that is all that we need to say. Thank you, my dear, for being with us today. Nice to see you again. Thanks. All right. And our dear friend, David, and his wife, Nelson, from India. And we just rejoice in their presence with us today. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. All right. If you have some of the Lord's money that you'd like to participate with in support of this ministry, this is your opportunity. The way we do it here is we have the collection of the offering first, and then the brethren will bring the offering to the front. And Lem, you're not at that organ this morning. What happened to you? You are. All right, you're going to go up there again? All right. And then we'll stand and sing the doxology of praise to the Lord for his goodness. All right. Come forward, brethren. Thank you. Brother David Yanga, will you lead us in our prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you. This morning we have the privilege to have Anna Widgeon come to sing for us this morning. And Brother David and your wife, this is the little girl that went to India. And so you can speak with her in Hindi afterwards as she'll be able. Okay, Anna, you come, please.
Thank you. children are excused. You stand. We'll sing hymn 421.
Thank you for being here. We've got some wonderful things to share with you this morning out of God's precious word. If you have your Bible, please turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We are going to be studying this morning verses 13 to 15. Hebrews 6, verses 13 to 15. Allow me to read it, then we'll have some prayer, please. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Let us look to the Lord in prayer, please. Oh, Lord, this has been a rather difficult chapter. We acknowledge, Lord, that all that we know about the Bible is what is taught to us by the Holy Spirit. It's not our capability in the mind, but as the Scriptures teach us, that we have been given the Holy Spirit that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. And so we thank Thee for the Holy Spirit who came to live inside of us when we got saved, to teach us what the Bible has to say. And I pray, Lord, for all of us who are professing believers in the Lord Jesus, that we will come to the Scriptures this morning with solemnity, with a great deal of genuineness of heart, and say, "Lord, open mine eyes
that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And if there's somebody here this morning who's not a believer, may something be said in this ministry of the word, as well as what has happened already in the music we've sung and the music ministry which has been given to us, to somehow bring that precious soul to an understanding of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. Grant to us, we pray, a sweet time now around the word. We ask in the mighty and glorious name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. We pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I have some overheads that I'm going to use to help you to understand some of the things I want to say this morning. And it's in my wonderful scribbling. But anyway, it's important to hear the word of the Lord. In the Bible, the book of Hebrews, we have three basic warnings. And Hebrews 6 is one of those warnings. They warned the people down in Louisiana, and they got the people down in Texas all geared up because of what was there. 2,000 years ago, the Lord gave some warnings in the book of Hebrews, and he meant that we would listen to them. Hebrews chapter 2 is a warning about neglect. Will you turn there in Hebrews chapter 2, please, and see right there in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give heed. That's why I put the word heed there. We ought to give heed, the more earnest heed, to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. A warning: be careful about neglecting the word of God, the so great salvation. Heed what God has to say. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now I urge you, I beg you in Jesus' precious name, receive Christ as your Savior now. Not because I say so, but because the Bible says so. If you neglect, you will perish. If you believe, you will be taken to glory, to heaven. You'll be saved. Saved from sin, given eternal life, a righteous position before the Holy God. There is no other way. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. John 3:16, the verse which is known by so many people, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's in the book, my friend. Please, I call your attention to these verses because we believe this is the only revelation that God ever gave. This is God's revelation to men. He unfolded what his purpose was, his plan, his desire is right in this one book. There is no other book that is a revelation from God, just this one book. Very, very important. Heed, do not neglect. Then there's a second warning in chapters 3 and 4. And I use the word enter. Will you go to back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, please? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 23. We went over this over and over again. What it says in Hebrews 3 and 4 is based upon this 6th chapter and verse 23, where God said, he brought us out from thence, that is from Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. He took them out to bring them in. And that's what he's done for you and me, my friend. He brought us out of Egypt, out of sin, to bring us into the fellowship and the friendship of his wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that he's brought us into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. He took us out to bring us in. Don't ever forget that. And our fellowship is not around a cup of coffee, like I was telling these dear friends yesterday. That's sociology. Socializing. But fellowship is around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Truly our fellowship is with Christ, with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's fellowship. It's around spiritual things. And may I just break in then, please, man? Most of us are very much aware about our bodies. In the Greek, the word for body is the word soma. And we're very much concerned about that. I'm so concerned, I took 6 tablets this morning. And after I had that, then I had my breakfast. And after my breakfast, I took 7 vitamins, as we call in this country vitamins, but over there it's vitamins. And so I feel, you know, kind of strong. I do this every day. This man, Jordan's wife, gave me a hint as to how to keep the pump going inside. And all the mechanisms there, so they work on a regular basis. So I take that stuff at night and in the morning the same way. We're very much concerned about, well, you probably aren't as concerned as I am, but anyway, I'd like to find out what you do. But that's what we do in our home every day. And I take my exercises also. I did that this morning. I took the, got on the bed, leg going this way and that way, and bring the legs up and all that stuff. This is the soma. It's so important. Now, besides the soma, there is the psuche, or psuchas. That's the soul. And most of that stuff is in relation to this life. And a lot of people are so occupied with that, well, they have to go to work. They eat, they sleep, they do all that, they have friendships, all that stuff is tied here. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, nothing wrong with doing taking care of your body as well either. But the problem is this, for your friend, that when you take the soma and psuche, now you've got 2/3 of your life. 2/3. And that occupies most of our time and our concerns. There's one other side to us, and that's the pneuma, the spirit. The soul has to do with this stuff here, the body, which you can see. But the pneuma has to do with God. And that always has 1/3 of us. And sometimes we give about 1%, 2%, 3%. How much do we give to the spirit? I don't mean to offend you, but how much time did you give to your concerns about God this last week? Now, I don't want to put you on a guilt trip. I'm just trying to ask you a question, that's all. It's very, very important, I think. So important that that's why you come to church. That's why you go to a Bible study. That's why you go someplace to talk with people who love the Lord and you want to be there with them. That's why Paul, he said in Hebrews chapter 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Get together with God's people, see. Soma, psuche, and pneuma. Body, soul, and spirit. Very, very important. And that's what we're talking about here. The neglect of the spirit, not the soul. The neglect or the disobedience of the spirit. He took us out to bring us in to be with the Lord. That's what it's all about. He didn't save you to say, well, I got you out of hell. He got you out of hell to bring you into fellowship with His Son, the Lord Jesus, to go along with what He's got to say. And that's why Israel was told to go into the land. We are supposed to get into the good things of the Lord and enjoy them. Not because it's a duty or a responsibility. It's just, that's what it's all about. Hey, don't you remember, was it last week or the week before we studied Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're not saved by good works. It's not what we do. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works lest any man should boast. But, please get this, verse number 10. We were created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? That we might, what? Anybody? Unto good works that, what? Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. They're already there. Please, I don't mean any offense, but if you get the connection, fine. If you don't, come and tell me, and I'll tell you what the connection is. We are driven as believers by what God has already set down. You don't sit down and say, well, what kind of man do I want to be? And then from that, to decide how you're going to achieve it. That's a lot of baloney. That'll never work, my friend. The only thing is a new creation in Christ, not your old stuff. And you're going to sit down and say, this is what I want to be. So now I'm going to lay my goals down, and now this is how I'm going to achieve them. That's good Madison Avenue stuff. But it's not Bible. The Bible is that God's Spirit saves you, and the Holy Spirit comes in and lives to you, and now you're created in Christ Jesus to do what? To walk in the way that He has already told you to do. You make yourself available for Him to, what does it say in Philippians? To work, to do, to will and to do His good pleasure in you. He does that. It's not your efforts to save you. It's not your effort to keep you safe. It's God's wonderful grace and mercy towards you. If we'd only get this, then we won't have a big long list of do's and don'ts that we can't do and do things we're supposed to do. And then we're just driven somehow. I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to do this no matter how. That's not what this salvation by grace is all about. He's already set it down, and I just say, okay, Lord, I'm available. And the Lord does some wonderful things in you and through you by His infinite grace. But He brought us out to bring us in. There's one more warning. That's the one that we've in now. It's slothfulness. And what He says in Hebrews 6, 1 to 20, basically is, you must go on. You must go on. Please don't accuse me of teaching salvation by works. I do not believe in that. I believe in salvation by grace. Grace alone. That's the only way by which we can be saved. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says it. But Ephesians 2, 10 says, you're saved in order to be doing good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. Good works come out of faith. They are not parallel with faith. They're not in tandem with faith. We're not saved by grace plus works. We're saved by grace which issues in works. That's the simple way to do it. Well, somebody says, well, I don't get that. Well, let me help you out, please. Because the illustration we have here is about Abraham. May I just to bring... That's why I had my brother read Romans chapter 4 this morning about Abraham. This is so important. I hope you get this, my dear brother and sister. It's so very important. It has to do with your spirit. Here's Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, he was declared righteous. How? Through faith. And the Romans 4 passage takes you back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. All Abram was asked to do, get it, at that time, Genesis 15, look up the stars, see the sky, see the stars. I am going to make your seed like that. And it says in verse number 6, Abram believed God, and he was counted to him for righteousness, just like that. God gave him righteousness before the holy God. On what basis? Faith alone, not faith plus works. Absolutely. Read your Bible. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, as well as Genesis chapter 15. But there's something else. He demonstrated his righteousness in James chapter 2. Now, this is a scary one, because this is where people say, see, I told you, you don't believe in grace. No, come on, it does say. Let's read that portion, shall we? James chapter 2, not the whole business, but a couple of verses there will help us. James chapter 2, would you turn there, please? James chapter 2. After all, it's not what Sack says or any preacher says. It's what God has to say. And James chapter 2, verse 14, states it right. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith? He has the lip, he has the talk, but he doesn't have works. Can the faith save him? If he doesn't have the walk, he's got the talk, but he doesn't have the walk. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily bread, here's a nice illustration, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it doesn't work, is dead, being alone. You see, the faith issues in works. It's not faith plus works, but faith that issues in works. And if you don't have the two, then you don't have the first. You don't have the second. You've got to have the works to demonstrate that you are indeed a believer in the Lord. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And that's why I gave you that second section there. You see, Abram was declared righteous, Romans or Genesis. Now he demonstrates it in James chapter 2. And then one more. This is the one that we're in now in Hebrews chapter 6. He determined righteousness. He said, listen, I was created in Christ Jesus to walk in those things which God has before ordained that I should walk in them. There was continuity. We call this, I hate to use this word theology, because some people say, I don't believe in theology. Well, what I'm trying to say is this. Theologically, we say there's continuity in what a man believes. We use the word persevere. We believe God perseveres with us, but we also persevere. Don't misunderstand me, and I hope my wife will not be offended. We persevered for 52 and a half years. I thank the Lord for that. Yeah. And we've had our ups and downs. Everybody does, if you didn't know that before. We all have. And we sometimes wonder, you know, will this keep on going? I found out about the Nelsons. Excuse me, David. But they've been married 4 years. Yeah. And they've got a lovely little home, and we had a sweet time of fellowship with them yesterday. Jeff and Sin Mayer, looking forward to the 15th of October when they're going to be married. And this couple is waiting for their first little child to come, which was a blessing when they got married, and now here comes the fruit of that arrangement. How we thank the Lord for that. Brother Matt Postum and his wife have one little child, and They gave us a secret that they're going to have another one. So, praise the Lord. These are good things that the Lord has allowed us to have, see. But you've got to keep going about this. There are so many that, this girl can tell you about where she works. They're having a breakup in the family. There's no, what's the word? To keep going. No. Perseverance. No perseverance. They say, you know, I think that we've had enough of one another. Let's break up. See, that's not what the Lord talks about. Slothfulness is a warning. Don't be slothful. You keep going. Right on. May I review this, please, quickly? Verse number 1 and rather 2 and 3 of Hebrews 6 tells you, you must go on. You cannot stand still. What he says are very nice things to believe, but it's not enough. Keep going on. And then he takes in chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, and he says the same thing. All those things are good, but that's not enough. You must keep on going. You got to have some demonstration of what your faith is. If you don't have that, sorry, it's not true. It's not genuine. I know those are strong words, and you say, hey, you mustn't judge anybody. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Because what he says is you must go right on to the end. This is why he gives an illustration. After he's given the doctrine, he turns around and says, I want to talk about Abraham. Can I tell you about Abraham? Well, Abraham believed. He demonstrated he was a believer. And then he went right on. He never stopped until he got the promise. No, until he saw the fulfillment of the promise. He had the promises. God gave him the promises. Strong promises. We call them covenants. The promises that God gave to Abraham, we call them covenants. And they're all unilateral. And they're all unconditional. And so I prepared something for you on that. I want to show you that. This is very, very important because it all ties in with this warning that God gives in Hebrews chapter 6. Here are the covenants that God gave to Abraham. They're all unilateral. They're all unconditional. Four major covenants they gave in the Old Testament to Israel. The first was the Abrahamic. And in that one, he gave them the land, he gave them the seeds, the seed, and he gave them the blessing. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Well, you can go on to 4 and 5 if you want, but he gave them three items: land, seed, and blessing. And those are extrapolated in a most wonderful way in three other covenants. The one is called the Palestinian in most of our Bibles. I like to call it the Israeli covenant. It belongs to Israel. And by the way, may I just interrupt myself here? Don't run out on me, please. I brought this along because I thought it was very, very interesting. I called this man. His name is Mike Whitfield. He's a graduate of Grace Theological Seminary. It wouldn't hurt you to get a hold of his magazine or little paper. It's called Prophecy Today. And the title of this particular issue is Katrina. Hurricane Katrina. Why? Very interesting. Very interesting. I called him because he made a quotation. And I said, I need the bibliographical reference. He said, I can send it to you, but the books are all sold out. And I've ordered some more. And we probably 2 weeks before we get the books, if at all. But he said, when they do come, I will send one to you right away. This is what I want to read. He says, William Koenig, in his book, Eye to Eye, demonstrates with consistent and accurate research that 9 of the top 10 natural disasters in U.S. history, quote, transpired on the same day or within 24 hours of U.S. presidents Bush, number one, Clinton, number two, and Bush, number two, applying pressure on Israel to trade her land for promises of peace and security. Isn't that interesting? Sponsoring major land for peace meetings, making major public statements pertaining to Israel's covenant land, or calling for a Palestinian state. Koenig illustrates throughout his book that the timing of these natural disasters with U.S. policy that promotes the division of the land of Israel is not just a coincidence, but they are proof that the warnings of judgment that were given by the ancient prophets of Israel are coming to pass. In this book, Bill Koenig provides undeniable facts and conclusive evidence that indeed the leaders of the United States and the world are on a collision course with God over Israel's covenant land. Very interesting. That man's got it in his paper. September 205. This is not some fellow's out on a limb someplace and talking nonsense. He's a theological graduate of Grace Theological Seminary. He's a preacher in the Grace Brethren ministry. I talked to him on the phone just the other night. He said, I'll send you that book. When I read that in the light of what God has said here, this land and the seed in Genesis chapter 12, and the land, it says, belongs to Israel. Read it for yourself. The occupation of the land is not given. The possession of the land is given, but not the occupation. Deuteronomy chapter 30 gives the Israeli to show that Israel must be back to the Lord. I got news for you. Israel's going to have some very serious problems. Very serious problems. Matter of fact, Zechariah says their women will be ravaged. You don't want to read that stuff. You don't want to tell Ariel Sharon or anybody else or my cousins to tell them that their women are going to be ravaged. But that's what Zechariah says. Read it for yourself. But it doesn't take the land away from them. The land belongs to them. Gaza belongs to Israel, not to the Palestinians. No question about it. Read your Bible. At least 4 times it says in the Bible that Gaza itself belongs to Israel. There's going to be a Davidic section to this Abrahamic that has to do with the seed. You will not destroy the Jewish people. If you want, ask Mrs. Renfrew, where's your wife? She's a nursery. She provides me with Debka file. You can get it yourself off the internet. Debka file, D-E-B-K-A file. It'll give you inside information about Israel. It clearly points out the Debka file that the Palestinians have not stopped, and Candace Rice and President Bush are joining with them to say, out with the Jews, bring in the Palestinians, give them Jerusalem, give them Tel Aviv, give them Haifa. Get rid of the Jews. Bury them in the sea. My friend, be very, very careful. You may not appreciate this, but it's Bible. Genesis chapter 12 says this. I will bless them that bless thee. Now listen carefully. I will curse them that curse thee. I made a statement a couple of weeks ago and somebody objected. I said, the man who does this, like Bush, he's under the curse of God. Who says so? God says, not me. You must be careful what you do with the Jewish people, my friend. Not because they're some special people, they're better than anybody else. As a matter of Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, they're not any better than anybody else, but God chose them. And if he chose them, that's his business. He started in Genesis chapter 12. They were the first Jewish people. I hear my people say, yeah, chosen for what? Suffering. That's what they say. And yet, we as believers say, yeah, but they're chosen. They're the chosen people. And through them, our Savior came. Not through somebody else. If for no other reason, we ought to love Jewish people because they gave us our Savior. For no other reason. But for some unknown reason, no. I think it's because of God's plan and purpose. Israel is going to suffer because they've been rebelled against the Lord. It's a very sad experience. It's hard to put all this together. Somebody told me, well, I know it was Chuck Bruner. He called me from Leesburg, Florida. He used to be a deacon of our church many years ago. And he called me and said, I need to get some answers on 2 Thessalonians 2. So I said, fine, what do you want to know? So I explained to him 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He wants some of my notes now. I said, I'll send them to you just as soon as I can get some hold of some. But he said, you know what? And he was the one who told me the first about this Katrina business. He said, I know why Katrina is coming on our country. He says, because they were kicking the Jews out of Gaza. I said, that's very interesting. He said, if you could have seen on the television what was going on, because I don't have a television, he said, if you don't have seen the heartbreak of those people, but not one Jew killed another Jew in that whole experience, which is an absolute miracle. Now the Palestinians have gone in there and blown up the synagogues. Come on. This is what the Bible says. The land, the seed, and the blessing. Abrahamic covenant. The land one in Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Davidic in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And the last is the new covenant. Let me read that for you, please, to show you how inviolable God is in His Word. Jeremiah chapter 31, please. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. You can easily remember that because it's the chapter and the verse of the same. Jeremiah 31 and verse number 31. This is a terrific passage. This is the one I always tell people. I read in South Africa when I go down to Hermanus. You ever go to Hermanus? And sit on the rocks at Hermanus and see the bashing waves come in. And I sit there and I read Jeremiah 31. And this is what it says. Verse 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, please don't say that is made with the Christians or with the Gentiles or with the Palestinians. It's made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Why? Because the Bible says so. Come on, don't try and change it. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, says the Lord. You remember what that was. It was the Mosaic covenant. But he says, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their heart, in their hearts, and I'll write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, come on. They've got to be Jewish people then. That won't be wiped out. They're going to be there. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord, which gave the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. Katrina, or whatever. Where did that come from? God is in full control of that, my brother. Please, don't blame Bush for what happened down there, or blame somebody else. not, and don't, please, don't give Mother Earth or Mother Nature the privilege either. God does this. He's the one who's in full control. And it says here, the Lord of hosts is his name. If you missed it, there it is. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, that's the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sea, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. He says, you can't do it. Come on. I know you say, I know you're a Jewish pastor, so you're lighting down on the Jews. No, I'm going to my Bible. Surely you know, my dear friend, that the Bible, every author is a Jewish man. I know you can tell me that Luke was not. I believe he was a Jewish man who came under the influence of Greek influence, but he was really Jewish. If that's the case, then every author of the Bible is a Jewish man. That's amazing. See, you better warm up to the Jewish people, because they gave you your Bible, they gave you the Savior. I mean, what more do you want? There's nothing else in the world to be questioned about. Did God have a chosen people? Sure he did. Deuteronomy 7, read it. And you'll see it without any question. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I also will cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. See, we can say, but look what kind of people they were. That's right. But he says, I'm not going to give them up anyway. I will keep the Jewish people alive. Covenants, unilateral, unconditional. It wasn't between Abraham and somebody else, or Israel and somebody else, or David and somebody else, or the new and somebody else. It was God who did it unilaterally. I've said a lot more than I should. You may say amen. But I tell you, it's there in the scriptures. It's there in the word. What's in this Hebrews chapter 6? Will you go back just to that for just a couple of seconds, please? Hebrews chapter 6. Look what it says. The first word in verse number 13 is for. It's the Greek connective gar. And that takes you back to the previous two verses. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You don't give up, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For God gave an illustration. He gave a promise to Abraham, because he couldn't do it by anybody else. He couldn't swear by any greater. And he said, verse number 14, and so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Well, he had the promise, but he got the fulfillment of it. He got the fulfillment of it. He messed around with Hagar at the instigation of his wife. And he was asked by God in chapter 22 of Genesis to take this seed of his, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. Had you ever thought about that? Huh. We have a grandson who's 15 years old. He looks like he's about, 20. He's so tall. He's got feet, 14 foot. My goodness. And he just keeps growing. He hasn't stopped yet. It's something like the kids here in our church. When Dane walked into church, I couldn't believe who he was. I didn't know, who's this fellow? And Ryan said, he's my brother. Yeah. Well, I can remember, he's just a little tiny type. And we see the children around here growing. Ashley, or Alexis, had her birthday yesterday. And she's just going up. What is she, 8 now? 8 years old. And we remember when she was born.
those are the fulfillment of the promise that was given between those mother, that mother and father. The promise is there, but the fulfillment. Galatians chapter 3 says, do you know what? The greatest fulfillment of what he says about the seed is not about the seeds, plural, but seed, singular. And the seed, singular, was the Lord Jesus Christ. So all this was fulfilled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is incredible stuff. Feed your spirit, my friend. Forget about the soul. Forget about your body. Stop taking the pills. But get to the spirit. Feed your spirit. Learn these wonderful truths. Ask yourself, what did we study this morning about the warnings? What did I study this morning about Abraham? What did I study this morning about the covenants? What did I learn? When you leave this building this morning, you should say, I learned something. And if you didn't, come back and tell me. Call me on the phone and say, I didn't learn anything when you preached this morning. You bored me to death. Well, tell me about it. But what I like to do is give you some information so you will learn something about your precious Bible and your wonderful Savior. That's what it's all about. Truly, our fellowship is not to get together and see who has a better suit and tie on or whatever. But we hear to have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. I hope you've learned something. I hope you've come to know the Lord a little bit better. And you say, oh, now I understand. And Ephesians 2:10. He created you in Christ Jesus that you would perform the good works. No, they'd just be there, which God has before laid down. Now we just walk in them. Just pick up and run, boy. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Is He wonderful to you? I trust He is. And if He's not, can I help you to get to know Him? If there's something in your life that's holding back the blessing of the Lord in your heart, my dear friend, deal with that between yourself and the Lord. And if we can be of any help to you, we're available. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we've gone over a lot of material this morning, somewhat hurriedly, but I pray, Lord, that what we said maybe have been some help. And if there's somebody here who's not a believer in Christ, that they will say, I want Christ as my Savior. I want His righteousness. I want to demonstrate His righteousness. I want to persevere in this righteous activity. Oh, Heavenly Father, grant us. For those of us who are professing believers, Heavenly Father, do something with us. Help us not to spend so much time on the soma, the body, or so much time on the soul, the stuff that's related to this earth. But give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, after godliness, after holiness, after the things that are the spirit, the pneuma. Oh, Father, please spare us, I pray, from just going through the forms, but grant to us a lively faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank Thee, Lord, for everyone who's here this morning. And I pray that every individual heart, like this Hebrews chapter 6 says, that every one of you should be touched. Oh, Father, grant this, that we all may have the assurance of hope in the Lord and in His Word, and we'll thank Thee for it. Send us on our way rejoicing, we pray, to the glory of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful, wonderful Savior. We pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.